grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has already won the race for us and through him makes us conquerors, dear fellow redeemed. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Philippians chapter 3. We'll read verses 12 through 16. Again, the words of the Apostle Paul, and he writes, Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, here it is, the first sermon. There is usually a lot of anticipation, even some excitement for the first sermon of the new pastor, isn't there? There is obviously some excitement and anticipation on my end as well. I would also say probably a little bit of anxiety. What's he going to be like? Who is this new guy? What's he going to sound like? What's his preaching style going to be like? Oh man, I hope he's not boring. Or long-winded, or both. Is he going to screw up? Well, as you might guess, the first sermon is a very highly anticipated event, even for the pastor. You want to make a good impression in the pulpit? You want the word of God that you're addressing your congregation with to come across clearly, but also for it to be understandable, and if possible, also interesting. I want to do it concisely, yet completely. And of course, I don't want to screw up. Well, we might as well get this right out of the way to begin with, but I'm not perfect. You already knew that. Good. So I can let you in on this other fact that you might already know. I am going to screw things up from time to time. In fact, I've had a few screw-ups this week. Some minor, some a little less than minor, if you ask Chris how many bulletin trials we went through and how many messed up bulletins are in the recycling bin, you'd probably be surprised at how many we went through. There's nothing like your first week in a new place, doing lots of things for the first time, trying to figure these things out, things you've been doing, actually, in other places for quite a few years, that makes you feel a lot like this is your very first week in the ministry. That's a good thing in a way, isn't it? Sure, there's going to be some awkwardness. There's going to be some adjustment time. There's going to be a lot of extra work getting used to a new situation, a new area, a new ministry. There's going to be some awkwardness in getting to know each other, getting to know how to work together, what goes where, what goes how. But really, we do have a great opportunity together, don't we? You and I, we have a great opportunity right now because most of you don't even know me. And those of you who do know me, I've never been your pastor before, so you don't know how that is going to go, and you don't know what that's like at all. As far as you know, I could be the greatest pastor who ever lived. You don't know. You don't know some of my bad habits. You don't know some of my quirks, my hang-ups, my frustrations, the mistakes, the failures I've had in my past. And so this time, right now, is a God-given opportunity for me to fix some of those bad habits, one of them being making air quotes, to fix some of those bad habits, to improve on some of those things I may have not done so well in the past, and to grow as both a pastor and as a follower of Christ. In much the same way, I don't know many of you. And those of you I do know, I have never been your pastor. I don't know what it's like to be your pastor yet. So as far as you know, or as far as I know, you are a very faithful member. You're the most faithful and helpful member this church has ever seen. As far as I know, you are here every Sunday. You're willing to help whenever you're needed. Willing to serve the Lord with all the gifts and abilities that He's given you. I don't know if your attendance has been good or bad. I don't know if your attitude toward worship and God's Word has always been what it should be, or if you've always served to the best of your ability and been as available as you could be. So at this time, right now, you have a God-given opportunity to fix some of those bad habits, to improve on some of the things that maybe did not go so well in the past as a member of this congregation and as a follower of Christ. So we've got clean slates with each other. You and I don't have a history together. We don't have a scorecard full of times that we've wronged each other, hurt each other, pushed each other's buttons. I don't even know what your buttons are yet. You don't know what mine are. Times we failed each other or harmed each other in various ways. In many ways, that makes it easy to move forward together, doesn't it? But most importantly, we all have clean slates with God Himself. Clean slates because of the sacrifice His Son made on that cross of Calvary. Full, free, complete forgiveness for all of our past failures, our mistakes, our bad habits, our screw-ups, even for those deep, dark, ugly sins. Those ones that we want to keep buried deep in the basement of our hearts and don't want anyone to see. Maybe I should say in the garage of your hearts. I've noticed they don't have basements here in California. Buried deep in the garage of your heart that you don't want anyone to see. And yet, even those sins have been washed clean. Doesn't that make it much easier to move forward together? This is similar to what the Apostle Paul is writing about in our text for this morning when he writes, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." You want to talk about someone with a past? Think about the Apostle Paul. In his own words, he wrote this down in the Scriptures through inspiration of the Holy Spirit for everyone to read to the end of time. He persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Those are Paul's words from Galatians 1:13. That's what Paul did before he became a believer. Now, Paul was even far from perfect even after he was converted and became an apostle of Christ, became a pastor, and Paul knew it. He writes in the very first verse of our text, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own." Paul is speaking there about running the race of the Christian life. We can see that finish line ahead of us. We can see the prize. We can see it's already been won for us through Jesus. Heaven is there waiting for us because of what Jesus did. Eternal life with Him and all believers. But God still has a race, had a race for Paul to finish on this earth. And when you run a race, it's not a good idea to turn around and look back. You'll probably fall over or go the wrong way. So Paul did not spend time looking back. He didn't look back at the good things. He didn't look back with pride at the things he accomplished as an apostle or a pastor and pat himself on the back and say, "I did a really great job back there in Ephesus," or wherever he traveled to and preached. He also didn't spend time looking back with regret, to wallow in doubt and sorrow over past sins, which have already been washed away in the blood of Jesus. Now, Paul says he forgot about those past things and pressed on each day to grow in his faith, to live a more Christ-like life, and to serve Jesus in more and better ways. You and I, like the Apostle Paul, have a race to run in this life. And God has chosen, beginning this day, for us to run that race together as pastor and members, as brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's go. Let's run. Let's run together. It's more fun to run that way anyway. As I was walking into church this morning, I happened to notice a poster about a run-a-thon. And one of the little cartoon caricatures of two of the teachers shows them near the finish line, and they're holding hands running together. They look really, really happy. It's just a picture. It's not actually what they look like when they cross the finish line, I'm sure. But think of that thought, running together, and how much more enjoyable, how much better it is, and how much more encouragement you can have when you run this race together. Let's forget what lies behind, the sins, the baggage we've been carrying, the hurts, the offenses, the obstacles that have been keeping us from serving the Lord with all that is within us. And let's press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I don't have to tell you that this race can be a pretty rough course. We have to press on with persistence. It can be a very long race. And at times, the going is going to be a lot slower than we'd like it to be. We need to press on with patience. We also need to press on with pardoning. We're going to take some wrong turns. We're going to mess up. We're going to hurt each other sometimes. We need to be pardoning toward each other. And also, remember, the Lord Himself has pardoned us. Most importantly, we need to focus on the finish line. Focus on the goal. We need to focus on the one who has already finished that race for us. A race He ran with us here on this earth. A race He won. We need to focus on Jesus. Listen to these words from the book of Hebrews. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I am optimistic about the race that we're going to be running together. I'm excited about the race that we're going to be running together and the things the Lord is going to accomplish through us running together. I hope that you are optimistic and excited too. But let's make sure to keep our focus always where it needs to be. I'm not perfect. You aren't either. I'm not a miracle worker. And as far as I know, none of you are either. But again, I don't know you. So maybe you are. But I do know the one who is. And you do too. Focus on Him. Focus on Jesus. See in His cross His limitless and everlasting love for you. See in His ugly wounds your beautiful and complete healing. See in that cross your slate wiped completely clean because of the forgiveness His shed blood bought you. See in Jesus' resurrection your finish line and the eternal life in heaven that Jesus has waiting for you because He rose and guarantees that life for you as well. And let's press on toward that finish line, one step at a time, one day at a time, pressing on, moving forward, focusing on Jesus. He's given us work to do, a good deal of work to do, a privilege and a responsibility that involves the eternal souls of our fellow man. He's given us a race to run together, focused on Jesus. So let's go. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.